Person to Person with Charles Collingwood. Brought to you by Carter's Little Pills. Five New York doctors prove the Carter plan helps break the laxative habit.
Roger Vadim Plamyanikov and Annette Stroyberg are better known to motion picture audiences as director Roger Vadim and actress Annette Vadim. Roger, who was once the director and the husband of Brigitte Bardot, was born in Paris 30 years ago of Russian and French parentage. After his schooling, he worked for a while in motion pictures. He became a news reporter, returned to pictures as a writer, and then made his mark as an outstanding young French director. Annette Vadim was born in Copenhagen in Denmark 24 years ago. She became a top European fashion model, met Roger while she was modeling in Paris, and he developed her into a movie star with her first picture. And it would appear that they have quite a few pictures ahead of them. While they're making a picture in Rome, Roger and Annette Vadim and their daughter are living here on the Via Appia Antica, the old Appian Road. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Have you become steeped yet in the history of the Appian Way, or does the future hold more interest for you?
Well, future and past, I think, are both interesting when you like life. But I'm especially interested in history, and I must say that in this special place, everything is very old. It has been built about two or three centuries and 12 years exactly before Christ. Mm-hmm. And all the monuments there are Roman, tombs. Even under the road there is the old pavement, which is not very good for the cars.
Roger, in the stillness, late at night by the Appian Way, do you ever hear the old Roman chariots clattering by?
I think the noise of the cars and the scooters are a little too strong.
Are any of the ancient tombs near you here?
Yes, everywhere, but by example there is one. It's a tomb of a hero, a Roman hero. Because all the Roman heroes were dead, they were put in tomb near the Via Appia Antica. You know, it's all only a kind of cemetery after all, but very nice one.
Who are some of your livelier neighbors here on the Appian Way?
A lot of very famous actors. By example, there is Lollo Brigida, Silvana Mangano, and her husband.
Mm. Sort of the Beverly Hills of Rome, huh?
Yeah, the studio is very close, you know, only 3-4 minutes from here by car.
Well, that's easy. Roger, how wide is the old Appian Way?
Around, it's 12 feet.
Well, that would be a tight squeeze for some of the new 300 horsepower American chariots, wouldn't it? Are the houses on the Appian Way mostly old ones?
Oh, they have new house, you know, very modern, like in Hollywood, with a swimming pool and very modern style, and very old house too. Mine is rather old, you know, a real old Roman house.
I'd like to see it.
Yes, please.
Well, the house certainly looks old, Roger. How old is it?
Oh, that is more than 200,000.
Well, not 200,000.
No.
What? About 2,000?
2,000, yes. Uh-huh. 2,200 years. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, that must be one of the oldest houses around.
Or rather, yes. Maybe the oldest, even.
I suppose you've heard it said before that they don't build houses like that anymore.
No, but you know, it has its charm, too. It's very nice to live inside. Sometimes we have a little domestic trouble, but. Like when the water stop or things like that. But, you know, we have a very modern studio near here, then it's all right, we can wash there.
What's it like inside?
I will show you, you know. It's very comfortable with a half new, half old, but there is something rather new I will introduce you to.
They built a lot of stairs, didn't they?
Yes, a little too much. There is a lift, but it doesn't work. Please, if you want to follow me. I told you we have something very new in the house. We'll see what it is. Annette? Annette?
Oh.
Charles, it's Annette, my wife, and Natalie, the new thing.
Hello, Annette. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
Mother and daughter make a beautiful picture up on the balcony. Annette, Natalie must be quite an international young lady by this time. What language does one use to speak with her?
French and Danish and some words in Italian.
She's a couple of languages up on me. Maybe French. Bonjour, Natalie.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao. Little Italian. Oh, she's darling.
Buona mattina.
Annette, Roger and I saw some of the house from the outside, and it looked wonderful. Tell us something about the inside here.
Well, we have five sleeping rooms, five bathrooms, some statues.
You know, here in this area in Roma, when you make a hole somewhere, you find a statue or piece of stone. I think they found this one in the garden when they tried to put roses in
the... They found it in the garden of this house?
I think, yes.
And here we have a huge painting.
This one, I don't know which painter is it. It's not very, very, very interesting, but it's not too bad.
I think it's very good. Looks wonderful on the wall there. Annette and Roger, how long are you going to stay in this lovely old house by the Appian Way?
Oh, we will have to stay here about 4 or 5 weeks, about. We are in this house since 1 month, because we are shooting a picture here in Roma. It's called Blood and Roses.
Mm.
It's a funny story. And Annette worked with me in this picture.
Annette's in it. Oh, good. Well, Roger Vadim has quite a reputation for discovering young actresses, molding them into stars. Do you go along, Roger, with the old theory that women are the weaker sex?
Yes and no. It's a little subtle to say. I think that on the social level, women are not as free as men are, even if it seemed to be. For example, if a man has a lot of adventure, of a lot of success, it's always very good for him. People like that, and it even does some good publicity for him. When same thing happens with a woman, you know, it's not so good for her publicity. Then I think that she is not able to be as free as a man on the society. Then they have their own way to make a slave out of their master, which are the men, and in this way they are much stronger than the men, because they have their little tricks. Then on the sentimental and sexual level, they know very well how to be the master. And I think, in this way, women are the stronger sex.
Now, what do you think about that, Annette?
Well, you know.
You think Roger's right?
Yes, I do, yes.
Tell me, Annette, when you and Roger are working on a picture together, as you are now, do you ever have any serious disagreements between actress and director on the set?
No, not yet.
Because I'm so nice, we can't have, you know.
Oh.
And when you're relaxing at home alone, can you forget that you're an actress and Roger's a director, or do you find yourselves talking about movies and shop and things like that?
No, never. And the matter of fact, I have to read about it in the newspaper, what he's going to do next, you know.
Yes. And you like that?
No, I don't.
Roger, have you ever made a picture in America?
Yes, I'm going to, after this one, I'm going to go to the state, to Hollywood, to make a picture.
Oh, good.
It's Paramount. I will do even several pictures there, 3 at least.
Oh, good. Have you worked with many American actors?
Not yet, but I have a lot of very good friends. Some of them are actors. I mean, some good American friends. My best friend in the state at the moment is... Marlon Brando. I met him in Paris, it was a long time ago, about 10 years ago, before even he was a star. Never did any picture this time. Won't I tell you the way I met him?
Yes, how did you meet him?
It was a very nice spring day, I think, in Paris, and I was with a friend, and at the terrace of a cafe, we saw a very funny and charming boy with his feet on the table, which is maybe usual in the state, but not so usual in France. And we thought it was very nice and very funny. He took off his shoes and seems to be so happy to have his foot free. We sat next to him, we start to speak with him, and we thought he was a very interesting and funny character. It was Marlon Brando. At this time he was alone in Paris, and living in a very little room. Then we gave him a room in our flat, and we lived together for 1 year in Paris. Then every time I go to the state, I have a very good friend there now.
Well, I should think so. Did you ever think of acting?
Yes, I was even 12 years ago an actor, but not for a very long time. I don't like that at all.
You prefer being a director?
Yes, it's much more interesting. You know, I need to be free when I work, and I don't want that anyone tells me what I have to do.
It's much better to be in the position of telling them what they have to do.
Yeah, always. I think the secret to be happy in the life.
Roger, you've made a great reputation as an expert on women in the theater, of course. Now, in your opinion, what is it that makes a woman interesting?
Well, I think the most important thing is that she's beautiful, but she doesn't know it.
Well, now that's an interesting point of view, but how are you going to keep the news from Annette?
Well, we will see that later on.
Annette, thank you so much for letting us come and visit you. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Showing
Thanks
us old
you.
Rome in the Appian Way. Goodbye.
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 In just a moment, we'll go to Beverly Hills, California, for a visit with Simone Signoret and Yves Montand. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Are you stuck? Are you stuck with a sticky roll-on deodorant that leaves a sticky mess on your skin? You need the first non-sticky roll-on deodorant, New Whirlin by Arid. Make this cotton test. Place some cotton on an ordinary roll-on and New Whirlin. In minutes, see the difference. The cotton sticks to the ordinary roll-on, does not stick to Whirlin. Proof, New Whirlin is the first non-sticky deodorant. And here's why you're stuck four ways with a sticky roll-on. One, that sticky mess stays on top of the skin. It can't get in where odors begin. Two, it feels so messy. Three, it can rub off on clothes. Four, it can be washed off by your own perspiration. But non-sticky Whirlin whirls right in where odors begin, penetrates into pores. Used daily, Whirlin gives you deep down protection against perspiration, stains, and odors. And there's no sticky mess with New Whirlin. New Whirlin by Arid.
Actress Simone Signoret and her husband, actor and singer Yves Montand, both had established reputations throughout the other parts of the world before they became overnight sensations in America this past year. France's leading entertainer and recording star, Yves Montand was born in Italy near Florence, moved when very young to Marseille. Although he made his initial reputation as a singer, Yves has become widely recognized as an actor. Currently, he's co-starring with Marilyn Monroe in the soon-to-be-released 20th Century Fox picture, Let's Make Love. Simone Signoret was born in Germany of French parents. She grew up in Paris, got her first acting job as a film extra. Simone has long been a star in Europe, although she wasn't as well known in America, until her performance in Room at the Top brought her a long list of honors, climaxed by her nomination for the Academy Award. During their stay in the film capital, Simone Signoret and Yves Montand are living at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Their temporary residence is one of the bungalows in the hotel gardens. Hello, Simone.
Hello.
Hello, Yves.
Hello.
This looks very pleasant. It's beautiful. Does the setting remind you at all of Paris?
Not at all, but it's just wonderful and so surprising for us.
Great. And you can't steal oranges in Paris.
No, you can't. That's very handy, especially for breakfast. Is your bungalow nearby?
Just there. Come.
Simone, I understand that this is your first trip to America.
Yes.
Is it at all what you'd expected?
It is exactly what we expected, in the sense that we've been trained since we were little kids. With the American movies, we've seen so often, and It's the first time I think a country looks as much as it looks in the movies.
Well, certainly something must have surprised you. What things here most surprised you?
Easy living, the sand, easy living, and I must say too, what you can see in even poor districts, which is so higher, on a, such a higher level than what we have in Europe, and especially in France or Italy. I mean, you know, even in front of poor houses, you've got a car, and in the kitchen, if you can see through the window, you can see a washing machine, and on the roofs, you can see TV antennas, and that's, for us, is very surprising.
Eve, what about you? What's your impression of the United States?
Oh, I try to give my impression with my very poor English. You know, for example, I am a stranger in this country, but I don't feel like a stranger. I feel like at home. And I think it's very important for one country when this country gives this impression. And, you know, it's very important because it's rarely, very rarely.
That's a compliment to us.
Yes, it is, and I share it completely with him. You ask me what surprised me. Among the things which surprised me, I must say there's one thing, is to see the real young kids of 16, all made up and driving big cars, especially here in the area of Hollywood. And I wonder what they're going to wait for when they get to be 25.
Well, I think this is another problem. It's a parent's problem, I think.
Maybe.
No. Simon, how long have you and Eve been in America now?
Well, we came for 3 weeks and we've been here 6 months. Because it all worked so wonderfully. I mean, it worked like a fairy tale in which our friend Dinosaur has been the good fairy, I must say, in a sense, because after the concert in New York, we came here, and Eve was asked to do the Dinosaur show. Then we left, we went to San Francisco and to Canada, and when we were in Canada, a Dinosaur asked him to come back for a second show, and that's the souvenir of the second show. And it's at that time, when we were ready to leave, to go back France for Christmas, that Fox Studio asked Eve to be in the picture. So it's been like, you know, a bad script that nobody believes in, because everything happens to, the fate is too good.
Eve, you've played in practically every country in the world now. You sing only in French. Yes. Apparently the audiences seem to understand you, though.
Oh, I think the audience understand because I try to give the number a very visual number, you know. I'm not only a singer, I try to give the pantomime, the dance, and acting too.
A long one-man show must be exhausting.
Oh, a little bit, yes, physically, you know.
How many songs do you sing in a show?
Well, I give 21 numbers.
What's the difference, Eve, between a French singer and his repertoire and an American singer?
Oh, I think the difference is in French we are obliged to find personal material. The song we are need are special for you.
Can I help?
Yes, come on, please.
I think he means that in France, when a musical personality wants to start to impose himself, he has to have complete new material, songs written for him, who is the only one to sing, you know. Because, for instance, if somebody else would sing it, they would think of him, and it wouldn't be good for nobody.
Instead of singing old standbys. Hmm?
Yeah.
Well, now. Now that you're established here, Eve, are you going to stick to your special French songs, or are you going to add some in English?
Oh, I try to learn my English le mieux que je peux. And, for example, I show you something.
You mean show you?
Yes, show you. You know, this is my English lesson, and I put this many paper against the wall in at home. Because the problem I have is I need to learn my English line for the picture I make with Marilyn Monroe. I think only about this, and this is dangerous too, because I need to learn the grammatical, English grammatical, you know, but I don't have time for this for the moment.
Well, you've made a lot of progress.
Thank you very much.
You couldn't say one word, I must say, when we got here.
He's done awfully well. Simon, when did you become an actress?
I started in the 40, just, in fact, when the occupation started in France. The occupation period, which incidentally was a horrible period, full of death and fright and horrors. But in the meantime, has been for people of my generation, in a way, wonderful on referring to the problems of friendship and sharing things. And, you know, we were so unhappy. We had to feel we could stick together. And in fact, the friendships which have been built during this period are the most solid and the most wonderful I ever had in my life. Well, but that's something else. I started to be an actress in this period because, thank you. Everything changed in my family. My father left for England with De Gaulle, and I stayed alone with my mother and my brothers. And we moved, and I found myself suddenly in a complete new area and among new people who were... I wasn't used to these people. And before that, I was ashamed to say I wanted to be an actress, because I thought it was ridiculous. Then suddenly I found out that the new people I was coming across were very proud of being painters, though they weren't selling many paintings, or writers, though they were not even published, or actors, though they were not acting very often.
You know what?
I speak a lot.
You speak English very well. No,
thank
no,
you.
No.
Thank you very much.
Very
I thought he was going to speak too much, because that's what generally say.
No, no.
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Eve, how about you? When did you begin? Did you begin performing in Marseille when you were very young?
Well, yes, because I started in Marseille in 1938-39, just to be 1 year before the war, the Second World. And I sing in the little cafe around Marseille. And I start there. I sing the song of Chevalier, of course, because I don't have my special material for start, for beginning. And after, I have one, two, three, and so, you know.
What else did you do?
Oh, before I sing?
Well, yes.
Oh, before I come singer, I make some work. I work in the waterfront. I work in the manufactory. I work in the hairdresser room.
Shop,
because my sister are a hairdresser. Yeah. He is hairdresser for women, of course. And in this place, I learned very much about the women.
I'll bet you did.
You know what? I tell you why. Because the women, when they are in the hairdresser shop, or beside the doctor, they speak very much.
Because what he means that they speak as much to the hairdresser that they would speak to their doctor, if he comes.
Yes, sorry. Because you touch your head, and she comes relax, and she speaks. Yes, she speaks. Of course, three person. Yeah, and she speaks. Much, and you know, I learned very much about it.
I'll bet you learned a lot. Simon, did you know that Room at the Top was going to be as successful as it has been?
No, we didn't know it. We loved it. We loved making it. We were very proud of it. We thought we would like it. Some of our friends would like it. But we never expected such a tremendous success. I must say, it's been a big surprise and a wonderful thing for people who work together so well. Such an enchanting, funny way, because we were joking all the time and having a lot of fun.
That's another wonderful success story. Well, now that you've come to this country, I hope that you'll be back with us often again. And thank you for letting us come and visit you today. Goodbye.
Goodbye.